The Islanders suffered through a lost weekend, getting only 1 point against two teams far below them in the standings. We have our key takeaways, plus a full preview of tonight's crucial game against the New Jersey Devils. All that and more on today's Locked On Islanders podcast.
Sart tees it up, and a save is made by Bobrovsky. Nelson, Barzal with the open net, and he scores!
Hi, and welcome to the Locked On Islanders podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. I'm your host, Gil Martin. I'm an Islanders columnist and historian, and I wrote the book Ice Wars, which covers the complete history of the Islanders' rivalry with the Rangers from 1972 to the modern era. And welcome, everybody, to the Monday edition of the Locked On Islanders podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. And thank you for making Locked On Islanders your first listen every day. We are free and available on all platforms. So much to discuss on today's show. A rough weekend for the New York Islanders, but we've got it all covered for you here. But first, if there's something Islanders related on your mind, if you have a question, a comment, maybe a subject you'd like us to discuss on a future episode of the show, feel free to send us an email. The email address is lockedonislanders@gmail.com. And if you leave your first name and where you're from, we are happy to mention you on the show when we discuss whatever it is that's on your mind. You can also follow the show on Twitter at LockedOnIsles, and you could follow me, Gil Martin, on Twitter at IceWars, NYRVSNYI. We'll keep you up to date on all the latest Islanders news, notes, and happenings, and I am live tweeting during nearly every Islanders home and road game, so join me for some instant insight and analysis, and it's always great to interact with Islander fans game time or any time. So, let's get right to it. This was a rough weekend for the New York Islanders. Two games against teams that, on paper, they really should have handled. Columbus on the road. Columbus, the worst team in the league by record coming into this game. And then Buffalo, a team that was 9 points behind the Islanders at home and a team that was struggling a bit as of late. And in these two games, the Islanders end up getting exactly 1 point. That is just not going to get the job done. And look, part of it to me appears to be that this team may be a little bit tired, a little bit worn down. And you can't have what happened on Friday night in Columbus, where you're going up against the team with the worst record in hockey coming into this game, and you just don't show up for the first 40 minutes of the contest. Throughout the first 40 minutes, the Islanders were outplayed. They were out-hustled. The tone and tempo of the game were definitely not Islanders hockey. And quite honestly, it was just a lackluster performance, and the Islanders were lucky to only be down 4-2 after 40 minutes. And yeah, they played a solid third period. Kyle Palmieri and Brock Nelson score. And yes, Brock even scored on the power play, something the Islanders have been lacking in a big way in, well, let's say all year, but especially since Matt Barzal went down with the injury. But then Anders Lee takes a bad penalty in regulation late. It carries over into the overtime, and the Blue Jackets get the game winner. So the Islanders salvage a point in this game. And yeah, the third period was good. It was a relief to get Brock Nelson back and to have him score two goals. And Kyle Palmieri, you know, with his usual strong performance lately, a goal and an assist. That second line continued to play well. And then, you know, the third line of Pageau, Parise, and Fasching also had their moments, with Fasching getting another assist and Parise another goal. But here is the problem. The Islanders absolutely were sloppy in their own end. And we talked about the need to play Islanders hockey, which is the opposite of that, which is to play smart in your own end, to not allow time and space, to forecheck aggressively and then create points off the forecheck. And I'm going to go a step further. To get great goaltending, this team didn't get great goaltending from Ilya Sorokin on Friday night. Now, Sorokin wasn't horrible, but I'm going to go out on a limb and say he's a little tired. Sorokin had played so many games in a row, and we had this back-to-back. To me, it made more sense to go with Varlamov Friday against Columbus. Varlamov, who was rested, who hadn't played in a while, you put him in against the team that has the worst record in the league. And then that gives Sorokin that extra day of rest and allows him to be a little fresher against the Buffalo Sabres on Saturday. But instead, they go with Sorokin again against Columbus, and he just wasn't his usual sharp self. And the result of that partially is 2 points gone in the standings. Well, 1 point, because they do manage to force overtime. And here's the thing that I just don't understand. I do fully comprehend that you want to ride Sorokin as much as possible down the stretch. He's your starting goalie. He's your number one. But you still need to rest him enough that he stays sharp. And if you're going to play Sorokin for, what was it, 5 games in a row, why didn't you trade Semyon Varlamov at the deadline if he's only going to play 2 or 3 games the rest of the season? You kept Varley, using him, and using him wisely. I would say every third game should be Varley, maybe even a little bit less. But to play Sorokin on the first game of the back-to-back, when Sorokin was the guy who had been used so much recently, it kind of didn't make a lot of sense. And that was just very disappointing from an Islanders standpoint. They just did not use their goaltenders smartly, and it hurt them. One other thing that I think hurt, the Islanders still don't have anybody to play that first line along with Horvat and Lee. And it isn't working. And yes, Horvat had 1 assist in the game against Columbus, but he just isn't playing well. And I think part of the reason is this. Horvat and Lee are a little bit too similar in their styles as far as being guys who go to the front of the net, guys who get those tips and rebounds and shoot from in close. And then you don't have a third player on the line that really is worthy of first line status. Friday night it was Simon Holmstrom, and he's our go to the game. Not that there weren't plenty of other candidates, but to me, Holmstrom playing on the top line, a -1 with no shots on goal, that is not an acceptable performance. As far as the unsung hero of the game and on Friday, and again, kind of tough to figure out the unsung hero, Brock Nelson to me, clearly the hero with the two goals, including the game-tying goal. But I'm going to go with Kyle Palmieri for the unsung hero, even though he had a goal and an assist, just because Palms, when he's playing well, is a big weapon. But to me, Horvat, A, isn't producing enough offense, even though he's doing a lot of other things well, but they need the offense from him now. It's been a long time, and I think they may have to separate Lee and Horvat and get someone on the line with Horvat who skates a little better or gets him the puck a little better, because he and Lee are a little too similar stylistically as far as that is concerned. We'll see if changes are coming. They don't want to break up that second line right now because it has been effective. I'm talking about Engvall, Nelson, and Palmieri. But clearly, Horvat and Lee not clicking right now. And there is no third player who fits on that line. Josh Bailey did it on Saturday, and that didn't help at all. So we'll see what Lane Lambert does, but it was a disappointing loss filled with mistakes Friday night, and the Islanders just need to do better. We'll discuss Saturday's game against the Buffalo Sabres, our key takeaways, and our hero and go to the game. Plus, we'll preview tonight's game against the Devils. We've got all that and a lot more coming up on today's Locked On Islanders podcast. Today's episode is brought to you by Athletic Greens. Our next partner has a product I literally use every day. I started taking AG1 because I wanted one supplement that would meet all of my nutritional needs. Well, with one delicious scoop of AG1, you're absorbing 75 high-quality vitamins, minerals, whole food source, superfoods, probiotics, and adaptogens to help you start your day right. This special blend of ingredients supports your gut health, your nervous system, your immune system, energy, recovery, focus, and aging, all these things. And it's lifestyle friendly whether you eat keto, paleo, vegan, dairy-free, or gluten-free. Right now, it's time to reclaim your health and arm your immune system with convenient daily nutrition. It's just one scoop and a cup of water, and that's it. And to make it easy, Athletic Greens is going to give you a free one-year supply of immune-supporting vitamin D and five free travel packs with your first purchase. All you have to do is visit athleticgreens.com/NHL Network. Again, that's athleticgreens.com/NHL Network to take ownership over your health and pick up the ultimate daily nutritional insurance. Saturday, Islanders, a 5 p.m. start, and they host the Buffalo Sabres. And I think they actually played worse in this game Saturday than they did Friday. The reason that they still were in this game until late and they lose 2-0 with an empty net goal at the end was the superb goaltending of Semyon Varlamov. Varley just getting the job done, made some spectacular saves throughout. But while Varley was fantastic, the Islanders' pop gun offense made Eric Comrie, a goalie who had struggled all year, a guy who had given up, 9, 10 goals in his previous start, he looked fantastic. They didn't challenge him hardly at all. And you look at the chart for the shots, the Islanders only had maybe, a handful, five, maybe six all game long of shots from high danger areas, and they just didn't put together an offense. And then that top line, which was Horvat, Lee, and Bailey, Horvat a -2 in this game. Lee a -2, only had one shot. Bailey, a -1, had no shots. Yeah, Bo Horvat had five shots. But again, like every other Islander in this game, held off the score sheet. And offensively, the Islanders did almost nothing. Holmstrom sits and Bailey goes back into the lineup. Bolduc, who I like, made some, miscues in his own zone, but he was far from the only player. He's not going to be the GOAT. The GOAT going to be Scott Mayfield in this game, just because Mayfield was out of position on a few plays, including the one goal that was scored by Kyle Loposo to get the Sabres on the board, and that turned out to be the game-winning goal. All around, the offense wasn't there, and the defense wasn't playing their game. If you have an unsung hero of this game, and I don't know if you do, it's tough to pinpoint because the Islanders just played flat. Unsung hero, I'm going to go with Cal Clutterbuck for his 5 hits and for the fact that he was not on the ice for any of the goals against. Well, okay, there were 2, but, you know, 5 hits in 10.5 minutes. Clutter played a pretty decent game. No, it wasn't the 3-point performance of the other day. But realistically, to me, the disappointing thing is, especially after you play poorly Friday and you only get 1 point, you needed to pick up 2 points in this game in order to you know, keep up with your fellow teams that are battling for those 2 wild card spots. And instead, you lay another egg and you come up flat. And quite honestly, you know, Lane Lambert has to have this team better prepared emotionally and physically to play hockey. And they just did not do that against the Buffalo Sabres or the Columbus Blue Jackets until the 3rd period. You can't do that. Now, there are, as we've said numerous times on this show, a lot of guys who are on the wrong side of 30 on this team. Varlamov, Palmieri, Nelson, Lee, Parise, Pageau, Cizikas, Bailey, Clutterbuck, Martin. You know, that is a long list of players who are on the wrong side, quote-unquote, of 30. Maybe this team is just tired. Maybe they just can't keep up. And having a veteran team with so many guys on the wrong side of 30 keeps the Islanders from being competitive on the second game of a back-to-back. Or over the rigors of an 82-game season, they're just going to have more games that they can't get up for because they just are tired. There has to be some kind of an explanation for why this team was flat both games this weekend. Did they really go out and read their headlines after they thumped Toronto 7-2 on Tuesday and say, hey, look how talented we are. We can get the job done just by showing up. These are 2 weak opponents. Because I'll tell you something right now, that's not going to work for this team. The New York Islanders win hockey games because they play smart defensive hockey and then they outwork you. And you have to understand, and this team has to understand, you don't win games by just showing up because you have that much more talent than your opponent. It doesn't work that way for the New York Islanders. And if they take their foot off the gas, if they let up, if they play lax hockey where they're not hitting on all cylinders, where they're not getting the job done defensively by being in position at all times, if they don't do the little things right for the majority of a 60-minute game, they're not going to win. And we saw that over the weekend. We said they should get at least 3 points and, you know, really need to get 4 if they could. And they get 1. And the Islanders are lucky because Pittsburgh, you know, they only won 1 of their games. And Florida didn't win. So the Islanders are still hanging on to that first wild card spot, 1 point ahead of the Penguins. But the Penguins have a game in hand. And they're 4 points ahead of Florida. But Florida has a game in hand. So everything that looks so safe going into this weekend, it isn't. And if we don't see that urgency tonight against the Devils, boy, oh boy, is there going to be some trouble now for the New York Islanders. We have got more to get to on today's show. We'll preview that game against the New Jersey Devils tonight. third and final meeting between those two teams. We've got that and a lot more still to come on today's Locked On Islanders podcast. Today's episode is brought to you by Built Bar. If you're looking for a delicious treat but don't want all the fat and calories, you've got to try a Built Bar, the protein bar that tastes like a candy bar. And what makes Built Bar so good? Well, for starters, they're covered in 100% real chocolate. That's right, real chocolate. And they come in unbelievable flavors like churro, peanut butter brownie, coconut almond, or my personal favorite, the cookies and cream. But the macros are outstanding. Each bar averages just 130 calories, only 4 grams of sugar, but they pack a whopping 17 grams of protein. And look, you could still go to Built.com and order a box and have it delivered directly to your home. But now you have other options. If you want to get a Built Bar immediately, just go down to your local Walmart or Sam's Club and you can pick one up in person. So, Built.com or Walmart or Sam's Club to get Built Bar, the protein bar that tastes like a candy bar. You can thank me later. Islanders, Devils. The games just get more important now as we get closer and closer to the end of the season. The Devils just 2 points behind Carolina in the battle for first place in the Metropolitan Division, but Carolina has some games in hand. New Jersey a little less consistent lately, though. They've lost 3 out of their last 5 and 2 out of their last 3, although they are coming off a win over Ottawa on Saturday by a 5-3 margin. And this is a young, fast, tough team to play against. Jack Hughes has now reached the 40-goal mark. Nico Hischier, the 30-goal mark. Jasper Bratt has 31 goals. They are 4th in the league in goals scored, 6th in the league in goals against. When you're top 6 in both goals scored and goals against, you're going to have a winning record, and that's why they have 100 points in 73 games. Their penalty kill is also top 10, 7th in the league, 82.4% success rate. The power play has been a little mediocre, only a 21.3% success rate, 17th in the league. Still way better than the Islanders, and the Islanders can't take them lightly. Goaltending, Vitek Vanacek has made a big difference for this team. 2.49 goals against average and a 909 save percentage. Vanacek, by the way, just a difference maker for New Jersey over the course of the year, giving them consistency and staying healthy. Will probably see him in this game, mostly because Mackenzie Blackwood played against Ottawa. Looking at the line combinations for the Devils, you got Hischier, Timo Meier, and Jesper Bratt as the top line. Jack Hughes, Andre Palat, and Dawson Mercer, the second line. Eric Walla, Igor Sarangevich, and Thomas Tatar, the third line. And then from left to right on the fourth line, Miles Wood, Michael McLeod, and Brendan Smith. On defense, Jonas Siegenthaler is with Dougie Hamilton on the top pair, Ryan Graves and John Marino the middle pair, and then Kevin Ball and Damon Severson are the third pair. As we mentioned, Blackwood and Vanacek, the goalies, with Jonathan Bernier and Mackenzie Blackwood still on IR. And by the way, Curtis Lazar remains day-to-day. Look, we've seen these two teams play already twice, and the Islanders need to play more like they did the second time these two teams met, a game which the Islanders were able to win 6-4. In the first game, which was way back in October, the speed of New Jersey, way too much for the Islanders to handle, and they lost 4-1. The Islanders, if they don't play Islanders hockey, defensive hockey, they are going to be in big, big trouble against the New Jersey Devils. If they don't clog up the neutral zone, if guys like Hughes and guys like Timo Meier aren't slowed down, it's going to be very, very difficult for the New York Islanders to win. And yeah, they're going to need a big bounce back performance as well from Ilya Sorokin if they're going to get the win. Time now for our Islanders' birthday of the day, and Sunday was the 49th birthday of former Islanders center Mike Pekka, the Toronto, Ontario native, drafted in the second round back in 1992 by the Canucks, played with the Canucks for parts of two seasons, then was with Buffalo, where he had some of his best years, joined the Islanders in 2001-2002, had a 25-goal, 60-point season, stayed with the Islanders for two more years, which he did not put up as many points before playing out the string with Edmonton, Toronto, and Columbus. 864 career NHL games, 176 goals, 465 points in 798 penalty minutes. And, you know, the thing about Pekka, he could be a very good leader as well as a good two-way center who could give you some offense. His best game as an Islander, March 10th, 2002, at the Old Barn, the Nassau Coliseum. Islanders facing the Atlanta Thrashers, and Mike Pekka, a two-goal, one-assist performance. He was a +3 with the 3 points and scored two goals on three shots on goal. Islanders down Atlanta 6-1, and they even chase Pasi Nurminen, the starting goalie. Chris Osgood, 18 saves to earn the win, but for Mike Pekka, a strong performance. So Pekka, 49 years old on Sunday, is our Islanders' birthday of the day. Thanks again for making Locked On Islanders your first listen today. Now make your second listen, Game to Game NHL. Every moment, every top performance, every result, Locked On Game to Game covers every contest across the National Hockey League with local analysis that only Locked On can deliver. Follow Game to Game on Locked On NHL. It's available on the Odyssey app, YouTube, and wherever you get your podcasts. We will be back tomorrow. We'll have our key takeaways from the game against the New Jersey Devils, plus a lot more. Until then, have a great day, everybody. Stay safe, and of course, let's go Islanders!